And Anne and Mithal are going to bring our readings to us, and then following that, Phil is going to unpack God's word to us.
Okay, the first reading is from Luke 15, verses 1 to 7, the parable of the lost sheep. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering round to hear him, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbours together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent.
The second reading is also about the lost sheep. It's in Matthew 18, verses 10 to 14. "See that you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you, their angels in heaven always see the face of the Father in heaven. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go and look for the one that has wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he is happier about the one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost." This is the word of the Lord.
Morning. I want to tell you another story. This story is about an old Italian man who lived out in the country alone. And he wanted to dig his tomato garden, but it was very hard work as the ground was very hard. Now, he had a son, but his only son was Vincent, who used to help him, but Vincent was now in prison. And so the old man wrote a letter to his son and described his predicament. He said, "Dear Vincent, I'm feeling pretty badly because it looks like I won't be able to plant my tomato garden this year. I'm just getting too old to be digging up a garden plot. I know if you were here, my troubles would be over. I know you'd be happy to dig the plot for me. Love, Dad." Well, a few days later, he received a letter from his son. It said, "Dear Dad, don't dig up that garden. That's where I buried all the loot I'd nicked. Love, Vinny." At 4 a.m. the next morning, FBI agents and local police arrived and dug up the entire area without finding any money. And they apologised to the old man and left. That same day, the old man received another letter from his son. "Dear Dad, go ahead and plant the tomatoes now. That's the best I could do under the circumstances. Love, Vinny." As you know, because you've heard me tell one or two stories before, I love stories, and so did Jesus. He told lots of stories too. And the lost sheep story must be one of his favourite stories, I think, because he told it more than once. Yes, I know that sometimes in the Gospels, where you read a story, it's repeated, the same kind of story is repeated elsewhere in the same place or context, just retelling the story by a different author. The likelihood is, however, that with this story, it was told more than once in a different context to apply a different kind of meaning. And so, I don't know if you noticed any difference between the two stories that were read and the way that they might be applied. Did anyone notice? Not going to say if you did, are you? Because I might ask you. And then, in Luke chapter 15, Jesus' concern is to reach those outside the flock. His main concern is an evangelistic one, if you like. It's to seek and save those that are lost. The context is where Jesus is talking with the Pharisees. The Pharisees are grumbling because of Jesus mixing with sinners, people who haven't repented of their sin and so on. And Jesus is mixing with them, and they're moaning about that. And he's saying, look, you know, I've come to reach these. If these are, you're already in the flock, so to speak, or there's people already in the flock. I want to get those outside. They're the ones that need to come back into the fold. I need to get into my fold. So it's an evangelistic emphasis. Do you get that? Good. Okay. Matthew 18, Jesus' concern is to keep those safe that are already in the flock. It's a pastoral care concern. He's bothered about losing people that are already in the flock, particularly children. There's a special emphasis on children. I used to love this passage when I was a youth and children's worker, because Jesus' heart for little children really comes out in this. The whole context is about children in that, but it's also about taking care of those within and not leading them astray and not letting them, and it uses this word, wander off from the flock. That's the context there. Wander from his family. And so there's a different emphasis in both passages. I want to major more on the Matthew one in this morning's service, although both can apply to some of the things we're going to talk about, and you'll see that as we go through. Now, the inference in both cases is that we're sheep. I don't know whether you're happy being called a sheep. We kind of, you know, mindless followers. But that isn't what this is about. The emphasis in the passage is important. It's not mindless followers, but cared for individuals, loved and kept safe by the shepherd. Psalm 23 would come to mind in this. It's the heart of God to care for his people. That's the emphasis that comes through. Okay, now I love to ask questions when I'm reading Bible passages that aren't necessarily there, but I like to ask questions and think about the passages more. So my first question here is, how did the sheep get lost? How did the sheep get lost? We were in Spain. We have two children. If you don't know me, my name's Phil. Sandra, my wife, is over here. Most of you know me now. And we have two daughters, Amy and Beth. And when our children were little, we went to Spain one time. And while we were in Spain, in the middle of a big plaza, we decided it was time for an ice cream. And so Sandra went to get the ice creams, and I was waiting with the children. And then she realised, I think she didn't have any money on her, or didn't have the right money that she needed to get the ice creams. So she came back over to me to get the money, and I beckoned, kind of, you know, and I just said, right, girls, just sit on the bench there, and I'm just giving mummy the money. Sit on the bench there a minute, I'm just giving money. All right, you get the idea. Mummy the money. And so I went over, she met me partway, gave her the money, turned around, went back. There's Amy sat on the bench, Beth nowhere to be seen. Amy, where's Beth? I don't know. But she was with you there. Yeah, I know. I don't know where she is. Well, where's she gone? Sandra comes back over with the, I'm looking everywhere for her. Sandra comes back over with the ice creams, got them, gives Amy hers. I mean, where's Beth? I don't know. She was here. Honestly, she was here a minute ago. The plaza's very busy in the middle of Spain. I can't remember what city it was in. Can you imagine the panic that sets in? Beth was... How old was Beth? Can you remember? About 2 or 3. Very little. The panic that set in. This particular plaza had a car park in the middle of it, believe it or not, and cars coming down and going into the ramp. So where has she gone? We've got to find her quick. We're running around the place. You've heard all the stories about kids going missing. We're running around. Anyway, what seemed like an age, but as I went round the back of the square thing that was in the middle, there's Beth, sat on a bench. Da, da, da. I just, you said sit on the bench, and I just turned round and looked for the bench. Oh, all right. We were panicking. She was totally oblivious. She just was waiting for her ice cream. But the panic that set in, but that was how she got lost, just wandered off and misunderstanding, whatever it was, and ended up going round there. We learned some parenting skills that day. How did the sheep get lost? How do you think a sheep might get lost? How might a sheep get lost? Wander off. Why would it wander off? Looking for better grass. Okay, looking for something better. Maybe it was disillusioned or bored, and it's looking for adventure or fulfillment elsewhere. Decides it might want to join another flock. Looking for better grass. Anything else? Yes? Chased by a wild animal. Yeah, chased by a wild animal. So scared in some kind of way. I haven't got that one. I like it though. Can you do number 7 really quick now? Okay, good. What else? Yes?
Following the wrong person. Following someone else.
Following the wrong crowd. Do you know what? I think I'm going to put that one under number 1 because a bit like Beth, distracted and wandered off accidentally, and I've put this under wandering off because of maybe work or hobby or sport or TV or friends or family issues or anything else, getting distracted by something else and just wandering away, not intending to go away necessarily. Yes, not intending to go away, but just start to casually go away and get more and more involved in that thing, and end up not coming back. Yes? Okay? Which could be another person who they decide they want to hang out with more than here. Anything else? Yes? Say again? Stolen. I got that one either. Good. It's a good one though. Yeah. Looking for water. Looking for, so again, looking for something else. Could be that. Yes. Chris? The other sheep are being nasty. Oh, yes. I like that one. Let's see what we can put that under. Other sheep, didn't it? Number 2. Didn't feel like part of the flock I've got here, which is unwelcome, lacking friends, filling too many cliques in the church or in the sheepfold or whatever. So it isn't connecting with other people quite as well, doesn't really feel part of the flock in some way. What else? Oh, we're going for it now, aren't we? They're all over the place. Yes. Okay, I like that one. Not just accept what other people are saying, disagreeing with things perhaps, wanting to try things for themselves. I'm going to put that on number 3. Didn't like where the flock was going. It could be that they thought, no, I don't agree with those things. I'm going to go somewhere else. Or they were struggling with some things. Or maybe sometimes the church is moving on spiritually and they're struggling with that and not getting the help and support that they need, and so they can fall behind a bit and feel like, maybe this isn't for me anymore. It could be that as well. All those kind of things where the church is going, where the flock's going, doesn't kind of feel like it's on the same wavelength in some kind of way. So we'll put that there. Yes? Misunderstandings, yeah, misunderstandings. I think we've got that under 4. Disagreements or misunderstandings, which could have done yours as well, really, I guess, both of those. Disagreement or misunderstandings, which can lead to hurt or upset or even anger and bitterness, can't it? And people leave because of that as well. Anything else? There's one more that I've got that you haven't. Let's see if we can get it. Yes.
Because he was injured,
it's good. but it's not there. Yes?
The gate was left open.
The gate was left open. Good. We'll come back to that later. Yes?
The grass looks greener on the other side.
Grass looks greener on the other side. We kind of had that one at the beginning as well, yes, with more attractive elsewhere. Yes? Yes? Sorry?
Didn't like the head sheep.
Didn't like the head sheep, yeah. That one definitely isn't there. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to put you out of your misery with the one that I've got. And I'm not surprised that you didn't get it in a way. It's probably one that we don't like to talk about much. Did or still doing something wrong? What the Bible calls sin. Which is another reason why people leave sometimes. Because they start getting involved in something that they know isn't really right. They start doing things that they know isn't really right. And they're not proud of, necessarily. But they know others wouldn't approve. They know perhaps God wouldn't approve. They know perhaps the church generally wouldn't approve. And when that happens, they start to drift away a little bit. Because they can't be as genuine in the worship among God's people here, because they know there's something that's not quite right, and so they can drift away because of that. Guilty, feelings of guiltiness or unworthiness, and so stay away. So I had 6 up there. We came up with about 10 probably different reasons, and there's quite a few. It's good for us to think about these things when we read these stories. Think a little bit deeper. We've heard it. Who's heard the story of the lost sheep before? Okay, most people. Who knew it was applied in 2 different ways, in 2 different gospels, completely? Same story, different message. Did you know? Okay, 1 or 2 people. So, most of us have learnt something in that today. Have you ever thought about why the sheep got lost before? Probably not, really. It's good to think and ask these questions and think about what Jesus' point was and applying it, or even expounding on that and looking a bit deeper and further at what it could mean for us today. Now, next question. Did the sheep know he or she was lost? Hands up those who think, yes, the sheep knew they were lost. Okay. Some of you. Hands up those who think, no, the sheep didn't know it was lost. Okay. Most people think no, but some people think yes, he probably knew he was lost. Well, let's deal with both. First of all, no, oblivious of the danger that they're in. A bit like Beth in Spain was oblivious that she was lost. But was she lost? Was she lost? Yes, because why was she lost? She knew where she was. She was sat on that bench. Why was she lost? Because she wasn't with us in the middle of that square. She wasn't with us, her father, her family. She wasn't with them. She was lost, wasn't she, from us because of that. But she didn't realise that at the time. What about if the answer was yes, they realised that they're lost? If Beth had realised after a while that we haven't come back for her and she came round looking for us again. Can be a very unhappy and scary place. My parents went on a holiday and went to a mountain in Cyprus, and they got to the top of the mountain. They went in the daytime with my sister, got to the top of the mountain, and said it was beautiful up there. They were really enjoying it. And then night came, and you know it comes quick. It turned from day to night really quick, and they were up the mountain. It went pitch black. They couldn't see a thing, and they stayed up the mountain all night. They were stuck up there because they couldn't find a way back. Make matters worse, they were told there were some snakes on this particular mountain. So they were scared, they were cold, they were hungry, and they stayed up a mountain all night until it was light the next day, light started to dawn, and they came back down the mountain again. The Bible teaches that all have sinned and fall short of God's standards. We were all lost. Some of us have found our way to God. Some of us have repented of that sin and turned around our lives and started to follow God the Father again, and we're with him and we're saved. If you haven't done that, then you need to do that, because you may not realize it, but you're lost, what the Bible calls lost. You need to repent of that sin and turn to him and follow him. If you have done that, but you've drifted away, I'm glad you're back here this morning, if that's happened to you before. The people I can't speak to this morning are the people that aren't here because they have drifted off. Who knows someone that's drifted off? Anyone know someone that has wandered away from the flock ever? A family member, it doesn't have to be this church, a family member, someone in this church, anybody, quite a few of you know someone who has wandered off. They need to know that God still cares. They need to know his family still care. Let's move on. Why did the shepherd care? Why did the shepherd care? Have you ever asked that question? See, the thing is, he still had 99. What did one sheep matter? First one. Was he greedy? Was 99 not enough? Do you know, I did have a conversation with Sandra. I said to Sandra, you know, Sandra, we've still got Amy. Does it really matter about Beth? One out of two ain't bad. What do you think she'd have said? Of course it mattered. Of course it would. And do you know what? If we'd have had 99 children still with us and little Beth was round the corner, would it have mattered? Of course it would. She's my child. I love her. I love the other 99. I'm glad they're still safe. But right now, my main concern is not that my ice cream is melting. Not the 99, because they're still here with me. Do you know what my main concern is? Where's the one? That's where my heart is right now. Doesn't mean I care any less for this group. Doesn't mean I don't care about my ice cream melting, because I paid for it. But I care most about little Beth. And he still loves us all. Each one matters. Everyone matters to Jesus. Why didn't the sheep just come back itself? Why didn't it just come back itself? Do you know the easy answer? It was lost. It was lost. It needed help to find its way back. It still had the same issues as before that we talked about before, but now it also had some other issues. Now, it could be that, we'll just do these ones, I think, because of time. Number one, it doesn't want to because he's happy elsewhere. Maybe he's now with another crowd or with another flock. Okay, if they are now with another crowd or another flock, I don't mind as long as they're happy, because we're kingdom, not empire. It doesn't matter, in a sense, whether they come to this church or another church, as long as it's a Bible-believing church, as long as it is rooted on the Word of God, as long as they are passionate and enthusiastic about Jesus and love him with all their heart and want to follow him with all their heart, then I'm glad they're just in the kingdom somewhere. I wish they were here with us still. I wish they were, because they're part of our family here. I'd like to let them know that they're always welcome here if they ever change their mind and want to come back again. But as long as they're somewhere where they're growing as a Christian and being fed and nurtured and enjoying it, that's okay, because we're about kingdom, not empire. If there's somewhere where that isn't happening, or where they're not going regularly to, then they need to come back into the fold. They need to find their way back. And if they're going nowhere, or if it's someone who has never been anywhere, then they are lost and they need to come back into, they need to come back or be part of a fold. Number two, thinks no one will care, they've gone. or think no one cares that they've gone now. We need to show such people that we do care. The saddest thing that happens in church life is someone stops coming along to church and it takes us 2 or 3 months to notice they've not been here. That should never happen. Should never happen. And that's down to our pastoral care structures. And that's down to how it's outworked by members of the congregation, by the family of the congregation. Now, this isn't saying it has happened. This isn't saying that we've got it all wrong, because I'm still catching up with what's happened here. This is just talking about what good practice should be as a church, whether it's this church or any other church. It's about that we need to have good structures in place, that this can never happen, that someone drifts off and wanders off and we don't notice. We should notice about everyone, because God cares about everyone. Number 3, memories of past tensions or concerns. Of course, these things may now have been dealt with, and we want to encourage people to come and try again. And if there's still tension there, we'd want to try and pour water on those wounds. Number 4, feels like they won't be welcomed back. It's hard for an outsider when someone's left to come back again. We need to be able to make them an insider again, not an outsider. I'm rushing through these. 5, don't think they'll enjoy it or benefit if they do come back. Well, I hope that the church is constantly moving on. It certainly will do and be during my tenure here. We will be looking to continue to move forward, to grow, to change and evolve, because the church always needs to be doing that, because society's always doing that. And we don't want to get left behind as a church. We will always, always, always stay true and grounded on the Word of God. The foundations remain the same. The gospel remains the same. The teaching of the Bible will remain the same. But the way we communicate that, the way we express that, the way we do church, and the way we relate to others outside of the church needs to constantly be changing, because we need to be relevant and contemporary in a world that's constantly changing. And so things will be moving on, and hopefully people can come back and try us again. And finally, 6, feeling unworthy because of past sin. We talked about sin before and people being unworthy. Hey, there still needs to be repentance if that has happened. But sometimes people need help with that. They need to be shown that there is forgiveness and grace and mercy, because, well, hands up here if you've never failed. Hands up here if you've ever not messed up. But all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And when we become a Christian, it doesn't mean we become perfect. It should just mean that our heart is different than it was before, because now we want with all of our heart to do things God's way and follow him in that way. And when we get that wrong, we need to be encouraged to just say sorry, to repent, and to receive the forgiveness that God has, and the church needs to show that forgiveness as well. I fell asleep on a bus once, travelling home from somewhere in my hometown. I ended up in the city of Liverpool, which was, I'm from a town called Widnes, but I missed my stop on the way back to Widnes and ended up in Liverpool city centre. This was when I was a teenager. I got there, I had no money, didn't really know where I was apart from I was in Liverpool somewhere. I had to borrow 10p off the bus driver to go and make a phone call. Didn't have mobile phones in them days. And I'm not that old, it isn't that long ago. Borrowed 10p off the bus driver, stuck it in the phone box. Guess who I called? This is a phone. Guess who I called? Dad. Dad, can you come and get me, please? Yeah, where are you, son? Don't know. I'm in Liverpool. Well, I need to know where you are. Right, that's the bus driver. Okay, it's on this street. My dad came and got me. I was lost, I had no money. I needed my dad to come and rescue me. Why should we go and find people. We could just say it's their own fault. They wandered off. It's their own fault for getting lost. Why should we bother? Well, one, our Father in heaven is not willing that any one of them should be lost. Matthew 18:14, that's what it says. That's the Father's heart. He's not willing that any one of them should be lost. Are you? Are you? Are you over there? If we share the Father's heart, then none of us should be willing, and we should do all that we can to try and encourage them back. He knows when even one is missing, and he'll go out of his way to bring them back, and so must we. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Jesus loves you that much. He really cares about every person. He cared about Zacchaeus up a tree. He cared about the woman who went and touched him when she was bleeding in the midst of the crowd, and he knew she was there. And he cared about the lost sheep. It's pointless us doing evangelistic missions, and we are going to be really pushing forward with evangelism and outreach, because there's a lot of lost sheep out there that have never been in the family, in the flock. We need to be missional, folks. We need to have a real heart for this, whether it's local community or it's right where you are. We're going to be putting an emphasis on that missional aspect of church. But it's pointless doing evangelistic missions and trying to add to the sheepfold if we leave the back gate open, as was talked about before. If we leave the back gate open, and as people are coming in to the sheepfold, sheep pen, they're just wandering out the back gate. It's no good, is it? So we've got to make sure that's closed. We've got to make sure that this is an attractive, caring, loving community that people want to be a part of, and we're really looking out for each other, and it's a real place to belong, and it's great. And we can work through differences, because they will come. Which family doesn't have tensions? But when they come, we can work through them in a mature way, sensible way, and care. And if people do wander, which may happen from time to time, that we don't give up, we extend that care now. God celebrates every single person who says sorry and turns back to him. It says there's rejoicing in heaven over every single one that is found. That's what the lost sheep in Luke's gospel is all about. Rejoicing in heaven! Party time! So should we. I kind of said this the other week as well. His church should get excited every time a new face comes back through its doors. Let me ask you one more question, and I'll finish with this. When is the last time... Oh no, let me ask this question. Who here has been saved in the last month? Put your hand up. In the last 3 months... In the last three months. Okay? Do you know when that was? The evening you came and saw me. And I didn't even know that was the case. Did you go home afterwards and did you feel that was a new start for you then in your Christian life? Fantastic! Okay, I didn't know that. That wasn't set up because I didn't know that, okay? I was going to get to 6 months, 9 months, and maybe a year. I don't know. Let's just carry on. See that, actually. 6 months? 9 months? A year? In the last year? Anyone saved in the last year? No. Okay. I won't go further than that, okay? But don't you think that's sad? Now, it could be that they're just not here this morning, and that's okay. It could be that they're just not here this morning. But I want more parties. Don't you? So, right now, I'm making an on-the-spot decision. We are going to have a party for you. Is that all right? We are going to have a party for you. We're going to set it up. We're going to arrange it. Watch out for the party that's coming, because we're going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate. And that's what we need to do. And then I'm going to make a promise to you. I've discussed this with the deacons. I've discussed this with the leadership. But every time someone gets saved in the next year, everyone who gets saved in the next year, and who knows beyond that what we might do, Andy's got his hand over his face. Oh no, this is going to cost us money. We are going to have a party. Yeah. All right? We're going to party because we want to be celebrating here like they're celebrating up there in heaven. Because God celebrates every time someone comes into his kingdom, and we should be replicating that here too. So now you've got an incentive for evangelism. If you didn't before. And we'll talk more about that one day. Let's just finish in prayer, shall we? Lord, I thank you so much thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you that you care so much about every one of us. Each one matters to you. Lord, if there are those that have wandered away from our fellowship, from our flock here, and we need to reach out to them again and just tell them that, how much they care and how much we want them here, then I pray you'll give us the courage, the boldness, and equip us to do that, even in these next 2 or 3 weeks, that we'll take the opportunity to do it. Prompt people now, Lord, right where they're sat, to go and reach out again to friends or folk that they know, and to extend that invitation again. Lord, for others that we know that are not part of your flock and maybe never have been, give us a heart again to reach those folk and others as well. Lord, go before us in our evangelistic efforts, in our sharing of the good news, and prepare the ground for us that we might see a harvest in the coming months ahead and celebrate many times over as you change people's lives in the way that only you can do. And we ask it in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. 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 Thank you.